Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13 tonight. We're in a series on grace, understanding it, you know, getting an understanding, a handle on it. There's a lot of people that teach on grace today, and some good, and some not so good, some true, some not so true. So you kind of got to go back and kind of weed some things out. And so we're just going and we're just talking about understanding. We've already talked about God's a God of grace. We've talked about, you know, the many sides of grace. Tonight I want to talk about getting established in it, getting established in grace. So you could call it established in grace. This is our third teaching. And so we're going to begin by going to Hebrews chapter 13. All right, verse 9. I want to read this to you, and I'm reading out of the King James. It may read a little different than yours, but we'll arrive at the same place. The Bible says, be not carried about with divers or different. You know, divers means different, right? You know, like one guy was preaching one night. He didn't understand what divers meant. And you know, where it talks about divers temptations. He said it must be mermaids. But that's not the kind of divers we're talking about here. We're talking about different temptations or different, be not carried about with different and strange doctrines. So there were strange doctrines in those days. There are strange doctrines today. Some of them would, you'd like, you got to be kidding me, Pastor. Some of the things I've heard that people are doing and believing, it's like, okay, that's strange. But don't be carried away with that, for it's a good thing. Everybody say it's a good thing. That the heart be established with grace. And not, the King James says, with meat or foods which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, you know, when he talks about, you know, King James uses the word meats or foods. You know, he's just talking about being established in what you do and your ability and your power and your goodness. He said, it's not good. You know, he said, those that go that direction, it doesn't profit them. And they get occupied in it. How many know, if you're trying to please God based on what you do, there's always something else to do? Have you ever bought, now I'm not a real computer person. I have computers, I have iPad, you know, and I enjoy that, you know, and enjoy the technology. But really, I'm not one of these computer buffs that just excites me and thrills me. I like it for what it does. But, you know, I don't really care to know much about how it works. I just don't want to know. I've got enough to know without knowing that. You know, and you know, there's only so much room up here, you know, in your computer to store stuff. And sometimes I think mine's kind of full and I have to delete some, some of my files, just like dedicating Mason Sunday. I must have deleted that file accidentally. But anyway, we got it done. Hallelujah. So it all worked out. So anyway, but, you know, when you get a computer, you know, I don't know if it's so much today as it used to be, but it was like, it's no time till it's like they call it outdated. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like they're upgrading it all the time. And it's always upgrading. And you know, things in life are that way sometimes. You're just always upgrading them, you know. And it's kind of that way if you're trying to please God, or let me say it this way, if you're trying to serve God based on what you do, there's always gonna be something else to do. Amen. If you're gonna wait till you get perfect before you think God is happy and pleased with you, well then you're gonna be in heaven before that happens. Right? Now, because there's always, because listen, I don't care how sweet and lovely you are. Well, I do, I'm glad you're sweet and lovely, but listen to what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how sweet and how lovely you are, God is a lot sweeter and a lot lovelier. Amen. Doesn't matter how perfect you think you are, and if you think you are, it's probably a good sign you're not. Like a woman stood up in church one time and said, I haven't sinned in 2 years. You just did. Called a lie. But anyway, Because, you know, listen, I'm telling you, we of course we want that to be our testimony, and of course it can be, but there's things we probably do that, you know, maybe offends God that we don't even think about sometimes. Now, we know what the Word says. We're supposed to live by that. You understand that. But still, you know, if we're going to match our perfection up to His perfection, then we got a problem here because He's way above us. Right? You know what I'm saying? Thank God He sent Jesus. And He did match it. He kept every jot tittle of the law and He imputed it to us. But, you know, He said your heart's got to be established in grace. Your heart's got to be established in what He did, not what you did. Now, what you do is important, but don't put your heart in that. Let me just show you an example. Go to Luke's Gospel chapter, I think it's 18. Let's look at some scripture tonight. Is that all right? Luke chapter 18. But I want you to keep that phrase, you know, that your heart be established with grace. But let's go to Luke. Let me show you something here because this is kind of revealing to me about how God thinks about things. Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And we're just talking about, now, see, you don't want to be established in what you're doing, but you want to be established in what He's doing. Amen. Now, notice this. Luke 18, verse 9, it says, He, that being Jesus, and He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. I mean, that's not a good thing. Now, you know, people that do that, you know, that they tout, well, they tout what they do. The next part of this verse always follows, and despise others. They always look down on other people. I mean, I don't know how many times over the years I've heard churches say, we're the only ones saved. We're the over here, we have it. We're the only ones going to heaven. That's a real good sign. They're not. That's a good sign to get out of there. Maybe you've never heard that, but if you've been around as long as I have in the ministry, you used to hear that where church would say, well, we got it over here. We're the only ones saved. We're the only ones going to heaven. Like a group one time came to one of Brother Hagin's meeting, and they said to Brother Hagin, they said, well, if you're saved, we're not. I like what Brother Hagin said. He said, that's the best indication I've ever had that you're not saved. Because I know I am. Not based on what I do personally, but based on what Jesus Christ did for me, and I've received that. So I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. So, you know, I don't get shaken. When I heard on the radio, I was in Jasper, Indiana, years ago, it's for cell phones and all that, but I heard a group, I was listening to the radio out of Evansville, VHI, and there was a church group here in town, and the minister said this. He said, I would give $1,000 to anybody that could tell me how to get into the body of Christ. I thought, well, I wish I could call you right now. You know, we didn't have cell phones. Some of you are looking at me like, what? Was that like the 30s or 20s, Pastor? When was you there? No, that was like the 90s. Or late 80s, probably. And so, you know, but I thought to myself, if you're a preacher and you're on the radio and you don't know how to get in the body of Christ, you should drive a truck. No offense, truck drivers. It's really, yeah, how do you get saved? Because, I had someone tell me the other day, well, you know, people interpret the Bible differently. I said, yeah, but you can just read it and believe what it says. If Paul said, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess Him with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. That's plain enough for me. I don't have to have a theologian explain that to me. I got that figured out. I'm supposed to believe in my heart, God raised Him from the dead, confess Him as Lord over my life, and I'm saved. Hallelujah. Didn't say I had to come to your church. I've heard them say you have to have the right title on your church. You don't have the right name on your church. Your church isn't a church. You're not saved. Aren't you glad you don't know all the weird people I know? Pray you never know them. But notice this. He spake a parable to certain. He's talking to some people here now, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. You know, anytime you start looking down your nose at somebody else that's not living up to what you think they ought to live up to, you've got a problem already. Yeah. The Bible says if you're really that concerned about them, your spiritual wants you to restore them in the spirit of meekness instead of talking about them. Ooh, we're preaching tonight, looking down on them, right? See, how do you tell a spiritual person? Well, they don't look down on people. They try to get them help. Amen. Now notice this, verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican, and that's just an old word for tax collector. So they didn't think a whole lot about the IRS in those days either. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. I like that. He prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. He's got me beat. How about you? I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, how many know everything he's saying is good? I mean, it's probably good not to be an adulterer, right? If you want to live. It's good not to be an extortioner. It's good not to be unjust. It's good not to be a tax collector. Oh, I shouldn't have said that one. It's good to fast twice in the week, right? It's good to give tithes of all that you possess. But once you notice verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's stop there now. Now think about this. This Pharisee, he's got all the credentials. He's doing all the right things, isn't he? This publican, you know, he's like Zacchaeus. He doesn't have anything going right for him. He hadn't done any of it. He may have been an adulterer. He may have been unjust. He may have been an extortionary. He probably doesn't fast. He probably doesn't tithe. But he's got one thing going for him. He knows where he stands. And he knows where his help's coming from. And he calls and says, look, he calls for the mercy of God, the grace of God. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. So that tells me you can do all the right things and not get a thing from God. Now, God honors you for your lifestyle, but he doesn't want your heart established in that. He wants your heart established in his grace. He wants you to live right because you love him. And I'll tell you another reason why, so the devil doesn't eat your lunch, right? But see, you can do all the right things. My wife can tell you, she's lived with me for 30-some years now, and so she's been in the ministry with me for 30-some years. She can tell you when it comes to ministering the Word of God, I'm a very serious man about it. You don't find me out on Wednesday afternoon golfing. I'm in my study. I'm praying. I'm fellowshipping with God. I'm feeding on the Word. Are you with me now? You see, a lot of you say, well, I'd like to be a preacher sometime. Well, are you sure? You're going to have to, you can't do everything everybody else does. Because it takes a lot of time to feed people, and it takes a lot of time to feed yourself. And then all the other stuff that goes with it. Amen. You know, people are like, well, I just wish I traveled all over the world. Well, I travel as God wants me to, but I don't find any glory in it. Matter of fact, as soon as I get to the hotel, the first thing I want to do is go home. My wife can tell you that's the truth. I know I'm walking the door. I'm ready to go home. I want my own bed, my own shower. I'm a homeboy. I've gotten her up before at like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning so we can go home. Let's just drive. Let's go. She doesn't always like it, doesn't always appreciate it. She moans, she groans. But after enough persuasion, I'll get her up. Let's go. Let's get out of here. I'm ready to go. Let's go. But what I was going to say is this. Here's what I've learned. If I put my faith in how much I've studied, how much I've prayed, I'm in for a big letdown because it's still His grace. Now, I can't just slough off and not do my part. But I want to establish my heart in that. I want to establish my heart that when I get up there, He's going to help me. Hallelujah. You know, and He does. You know, I mean, I do my part. You have to do your part. You know, God's smart enough to know whether you're doing your part or not. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I do my part. I don't, you know, like, you know, some ministers, it's no wonder they just throw out a bunch of old dry hay. They spend the afternoon at the movie theater and then come in and prophesy, thus saith the Lord. I'm like, sit down and shut up. What do you know? You only know what Harrison Ford said. Are you with me now? I mean, come on, man. I mean, if you're going to give me thus saith the Lord, be with the Lord. Amen. Don't be with some movie actor. Oh, I'm preaching good tonight. See, you're going to come. You're going to come and preach on the ark, and you're going to take it off Raiders of the Lost Ark and say there's demons coming out of it and everything else. No, you watch too much TV. I have a friend. He's in heaven now. But he said at church service, he said one night, you know, you see, you hear all things. He said this woman gets up and prophesies. And, you know, have you ever read in the Old Testament where when the Ark of the Covenant was taken in Samuel, you know, Eli was a good man. He was a priest. He was a good man. He was just lethargic. He lost his zeal, and he let his sons do things he shouldn't have let them do. He didn't stop them, and God said, I'm going to remove the priesthood for you because you honor your sons above me. You're letting them sin and do things, and you're honoring them above me. And, you know, and the Ark of the Covenant got stolen, and the Bible said they came out with the word that they named, one of them had a child, one of Eli's sons, his wife had a child, and they called the child Ichabod. Ichabod. Ichabod means the glory has departed. This friend of mine in the ministry, he said, you know, one night this lady gets up and she starts supposedly prophesying, and she said, the Lord sees your sinning, and the Lord doth know your sinning, and if thou doesn't stop thy sinning, the Lord is going to write Michelob over your door. See, she spent Sunday afternoon watching beer commercials. And Michelob's on her mind. Oh, he told me another one. He said this lady got up and prophesied, you know, as Joshua led the children of Israel out of Egypt, as Joshua led the children of Israel through the wilderness, you know, and thus saith the Lord, yea, yea, yin, yang, hi. And she sat down, and it dawned on her, wait a minute, that wasn't Joshua. And she stands down. You know, it's bad enough to make. Now, we could all make mistakes. Don't misunderstand me. Everybody's made mistakes in the gifts of the Spirit, so we're not being critical about that. Anybody can make a mistake. But just let it go with that. But she stands back up. He said, she stands back up, and she says, the Lord thy God hath made a mistake. Now, that's where you really messed up. That weren't Joshua. It were Moses. Sister, don't prophesy for a couple weeks, all right? I heard a guy say, he's in heaven too. Not all the ministers I know are in heaven. But he said, you know, he said, I'd go to this church and preach. He said, every time the glory would get moving, this lady would go, I see Jesus. He said, you know, after about 35 times of that, you paid no attention to it. You know, somebody should have been like a leader in the church and said, sister, just hold that. He said, but one night, he said, she stood up and said, folks, this time I really do see Jesus. He said, I think she really saw something that night. But, you know, back to the sermon. You know, I've learned that it doesn't matter how much I study and how much I pray. I need to do my homework. I need to study to show myself approved. I need to put myself in a place where the Spirit of God can use me. I need to glean off of the Father. I need to get a hold of His anointing in my life. But if I put my trust in that, I'm going to fall flat, because without Him, I said without Him putting the umph on it, without Him putting the unction on it, it doesn't matter how intelligent your sermon is. I've heard sermons that were highly intelligent but dry as dust. And I've heard guys that can't say words right that had an anointed sermon. And I'll take that over the polished one, the dry. I'll take the one, you know, that's got something on it. It's got the Holy Ghost on it. There's a huge difference when the Holy Ghost is on something and when it's just people. And the thing of it is a lot of the church can't discern that any longer. They don't know the Holy Ghost has left. They don't even know He's left. Remember when the Spirit of God left Samson? It said he knew not he had departed from him. See, I wonder just about the Holy Spirit. When He comes in, He makes a lot of noise. I mean, on the day of Pentecost, the whole city got stirred up. And I was reading one time, I don't know where I got, whether this information is right or not, you know. Let me give you a revelation. Now, if you don't get anything else, get this. Not everything on the internet is gospel. A pastor I know says sometimes people, he'll preach something and somebody, some saint of God will go research it on the internet and say, well, pastor, I saw this on the internet. Oh, yeah, that makes it gospel. Did you know people put it on the internet, right? Okay. And so, but I researched this one time. How many people were in Jerusalem? And there were like a few hundred thousand people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. I mean, you had the people that lived there, plus the people from all the other nations that came. And when the Holy Spirit came in, the whole city was stirred up. But you know, if you grieve Him, you ignore Him, you don't let Him move, He just quietly departs, just like He did with Samson. Samson didn't know He'd left. He said, I'm going to go out and shake myself as at other times. But he didn't know the Spirit of God had left him. He did. The Holy Ghost didn't say, I'm leaving. He just left. So we need His help. Amen. See, when we're talking about grace, we talked about the different sides of grace. It's more than just unmerited favor because Jesus had grace on Him. And He merited it. All right? So it's God's ability. It's God's power. It's God's gifting. It's God's goodness. It's His benevolence towards us. We want some of that going on in our life. We want His ability. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? See, hallelujah. You know, I've seen saints that were anointed to do a lot of different things, man. Had great anointings on them. Not all of them to preach, you know. I mean, there's people that are anointed to sing, anointed to play, anointed to usher, anointed to greet. Amen. You know, there's people that are anointed to do a lot of different things that God put an anointing on them. We used to have people in the old Pentecost that they were anointed to testify. I mean, they'd get up, and they weren't preachers, but they'd get up and testify, and the power of God had hit the place. Then they degenerated into hard luck stories, and we had to quit. It's a shame. Come on, am I telling the truth about it? They start degenerating. As the older group lost that anointing, the younger group came on, and all they could tell is hard luck stories. Devil's been after me all day, bless His holy name. You got your praise mixed up there a little bit, sister. You know, so you have to understand that we need His help no matter what we do. You know what I'm saying? You can be believed to be anointed. How many know Stephen was a man? He was just waiting on tables, and miracles, signs, and wonders were happening. Why? Because he was believing for some grace on his life. He was expecting God to add something to it, and it wasn't just I'm waiting on tables. But you know, I come in contact with people. People are going to get healed and going to get delivered. I'm believing God. I don't have to have my name in lights, and I don't have to have the title healing evangelist. I didn't see anywhere where it said Stephen Hen. Okay, Benny Hen, in case you didn't get that. No, it's just Stephen, man. He's a deacon in the church, man. He's waiting on tables. He's helping out. He's doing some natural things so the apostles can pray and be with God. But all of a sudden, man, something starts happening. And, I mean, the power of God starts flowing and starts moving. Amen. Well, you know, you can't depend like this guy here we just read about. He's like, well, what I did, you know, what all I do. You know, I mean, hey, I fast. I give tithes. I don't do this. I don't do that. And God said, I'm not impressed with you at all. I'm impressed with this guy that doesn't have a leg to stand on. And he stood, he established his heart in my mercy and my grace. Wow, I like that. I like that. That's where God wants our hearts at. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. We're going to get moving on here, 2 Timothy, and then we're going to look at one more scripture, I think. We'll see. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let me show you something here, what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Really, thank God, I'm not talking about you, but you know, I mean, I get around other preachers and all this and hear things and know things. It's amazing how the church has lost the Holy Ghost. It is. It's like they don't need Him any longer. They can have church without Him. Well, you can have a service without Him, but you can't have Bible church and meeting without Him. You got to have Him. You got to have His help. You know, no matter what that be. I mean, you know, listen, if it's just the preaching and teaching, how many want His help? Oh, man. without it, you know, it's a chore. You know, have you ever, Pastor, have you ever got up and preached without the anointing? Yeah. Why? Well, because one thing, I went and preached at a place one time. The Lord told me don't go there. Now, I haven't had him tell me that very often, but I, you know, I was just in the early days, and any place that asked me, I'd go. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I knew, you know, I just knew in my heart, he said, don't go. And I thought, well, hey, I'm going to get to preach. I'm going. Get behind me. How many of you can rationalize things, right? You know. And I went, and he didn't go. After that, I learned a real good lesson. I don't want to do this without him because I don't have the natural ability to pull it off. I mean, I want his help. Amen. Now, here in Timothy, go there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said this, thou therefore, my son, talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me know, if you can be strong in grace, you could be weak in grace, right? Now, you could be in grace, but be weak in it. I mean, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. I think this is pretty good. He said, I beseech you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, what would that mean? Well, you could get born again. You know, when you get born again, you receive the grace of God, right? But did you know Peter said you can grow in grace? Now, what would be receiving the grace of God in vain? Well, you receive it, but then you never develop it in your life. You never get strong in it. You never get dependent on it. You start flowing in the gifts of the Holy Ghost much, and you'll learn you better get dependent on the grace because, you know, I've had God use me to prophesy things to people that, you know, it could have ruined their lives if it was wrong. And sometimes you have no idea. You don't have any clue. I remember a couple years ago, you know, I don't know if I should tell this or not. Well, anyway, let's just say it. Let's just say it this way. Let's just say it this way. There's times God will have me prophesy. He'll say, the Lord wants me to tell you, and I don't have a clue what he wants me to tell him. I'm thinking, I hope you tell me time they get up front. I mean, you learn to depend on grace. Oh, yeah, there's times he'll say, you know, and I've been preaching long, and he said, and I'll say, I want to give you three reasons. And I'm thinking, okay, what are they? I'm about to learn something here. See, you learn to depend on that, right? See, once you learn, now you do your study, you do your homework, but then, you know, you don't have to have 6 months to get ready to preach a sermon because you've learned to tap into that grace. Oh, yeah, when I first started, I'd spend all week getting my one sermon. I'd all week getting that one ready. If I did that today, I wouldn't do anything else. I'd kind of like to do that, to be honest with you, but, yeah. But then you learn, you know, you still got a fellowship with God, you still got to study, but you begin to learn to lean back on His grace. I heard Keith Moore say this one time. I never forgot this. I thought this was so good. He said, you know, I was sitting, this was when he was working at Raymond. He was like in the healing school and all, and he had an office there. And he said, you know, I was just thinking one day, he said, I wonder how much of what I do is me and how much of it is grace, the grace of God. He said, so I prayed a prayer. He said, I don't recommend you pray this. He said, Lord, just show me how much of this is you and how much of it is me. He said, for 3 days, I couldn't even told you my name. He said, I just sat in my office like, blah, 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 blah. He said, I couldn't do anything. And after 3 days, he's like, you know, that's enough. I got it. Hallelujah. We got to learn to tap into that. Be strong in that. Come on. Be strong in it. David said in the Psalms, in Psalm 52, he said, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord because I trust in the mercy of God or the grace of God. So he said, it makes me strong. Amen. Think about it. Green. What's green? Fresh, alive. What's olive? Well, anointed, right? What's tree? Longevity, strong, right? So when you learn, see, we're just talking about when you learn to tap into that, when you learn to develop that and to put your heart in God's grace, then when you do that, You become strong. Everybody wants to be like Wigglesworth. Well, not everybody, but people that knew him and knew his ministry, that, yeah, they'd love to have a ministry like he had. But I've heard more than one preacher that was there when he was alive. They said when he would start out preaching, they said he'd just stumble around. Said it didn't make any sense. And he'd just stumble out. And then all of a sudden, you could see it. Bam, it hit him. The anointing hit him, and he'd take off and just flow. Man, I heard one, he had a Bible school. I forget who it was. It might have been P.C. Nelson. But he said, I would always have Wigglesworth come and preach for the students because I wanted them to see that anointing. Because when he'd get up and start out, he'd just stumble around because he wasn't educated. I mean, he only went to fifth grade. And he didn't learn to read until he's 50 years old. So he wasn't educated, but he tapped into something. You know, listen, if I'm dead and some guy raises me from the dead, I'm not going to rise up and say, now, how educated are you anyway? I'm thinking, you know more than most people. Yeah, I know a preacher. Well, he's in heaven. I'm not going there for a while. Amen. Yeah, but he's in heaven. And he was in England, and he was preaching, and he said, I preach for this pastor. And he said, I want to tell you, he was an older man. He said, I had Wigglesworth in my church. He said, he'd scare you. He said, you did not know what he was going to do. And he said, one of my people, one of their family members died while Wigglesworth was there with me. And so the funeral home was just a few doors down from where the church was at. And so he told Brother Wigglesworth, he said, well, I need to go down there. Wigglesworth went with him. And he said, Wigglesworth got the guy raised from the dead. I don't care how much he stutters. He's got something going on that maybe we need to know about. And that's what this Bible school, this guy was over this Bible school would say. He said, I would have him in because he said, I wanted the students to see that when the anointing hit him. When that hit him, bam, he'd take off. But before it came, he'd just stumble around. I'm thinking of a preacher I know. I've known him for a lot of years. He's the same way. He'll get up. And he'll just kind of wander around, meander around, and then in a little bit, bam, something hits him. Amen. Now I always want God to help me, let me start out with it. Right? But for whatever reason, it works that way with him. But the thing of it is you begin to see the grace on these people. You begin to see this is a supernatural thing. Come on, are you with me now? See, I went to school, I learned this. Well, that's great. That's all wonderful. But grace is above all of that. Grace will wipe out all insufficiency. Amen. Now, let's go. Come on, we're closing out. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you this. Did you get something out of this? See, you need to establish your heart in God's grace. God, I'm trusting you to put me over. I'm trusting you to empower me. I'm trusting you to give me the ability to do whatever I need to do. I'm trusting you to anoint me. And you know what? He will. When you approach it that way, see, faith, and we'll talk about this next Wednesday night, I'm going to talk about accessing grace. And one of the areas is faith. See, faith access is an access to grace. See, the Bible says, well, it's Romans, and we may read the scripture next week. We'll see. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Faith accesses that. When you believe God to put you over, he'll put you over. Amen. Amen. You know, now, you know, there's everybody's different in how God uses you, but it's his grace that does it. Yes. Right? I mean, you know, I know a preacher. I don't personally know him. I know of him. He's a great preacher of the word, man. And, you know, he's older now. He's probably in his 80s by now. But he's still a great preacher of the word. But he reads his sermons. You never know it. I'm thinking, if I read my sermon, it'd sound like a book report. And it'd be mighty short because I don't have much notes at all. I just have some scriptures written down with maybe a thought by the scripture. But that's the way God uses him. But, you know, but that's the grace on his life. And I'm thinking, when I heard he read his sermon, I thought, you got to be kidding me. He preached like the house is on fire. And I thought, that can't be true. And I watched him one. I just watched. I thought, yeah, he looks down. He hardly ever leaves the pulpit. I thought, how you do that? I may be like, I'm reading a book. Amen. But it's grace. It's grace. That kind of grace wouldn't work for me. Are you with me now? I just say, God, tell me what I'm preaching on. Give me a thought. And away we go. Let's go. Amen. We're preaching on establishing our heart. Let's just do it. Amen. Now, Galatians chapter 5, look at this. Paul said this, verse 1. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many know the liberty that Christ made us free with is the grace liberty? Now, let me say this about grace, because I want to just end with this, because I want to make sure that we're on the same page, and I'm pretty sure we are. But grace, you know, the way grace is preached today, it's preached wrong a lot of times. Grace is not, grace is not law, and it's not license. It's liberty. See, some people, you can get in a ditch on either side where you're just always like, you know, what I do and how I live and how good I am and yada, yada, yada. But then you get on the other side, so it doesn't matter what I do, I'm under grace. I've heard that preaching. Doesn't matter what I say, what I do, it's already forgiven, I'm under grace, it's okay, it's all right. Listen, that's called license, right? In other words, you can't find that animal in the Bible, amen, where God says, just go ahead and live like you want to. Yeah, you can find it. It's called the doctrine of Nicolaitans in Revelation. And Jesus said, I hate it. There was a deacon named Nicholas. You find him in the book of Acts. He got off and he began preaching that you're born again, your spirit man's right with God. It doesn't matter what you do with your body. It's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Jesus talked about it in Revelation. And he said, I hate that doctrine. Well, I don't want that doctrine either. So we need to find something here in the middle. It's not law. It's not license. It's liberty. What's the liberty? Well, the liberty is this. Look, we're going to do our best to walk and serve God and please God. But if we do miss it, thank God for grace. He's got us covered. If I do mess up, I'm going to tell him I'm sorry. I'm going to repent. I've heard him preach, you don't have to repent now. You've already repented. You don't have to ask God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. Wait a minute. How about some courtesy here? What if I cream your car in the parking lot and the first thing I say is, well, you'll have to forgive me. Because the Bible says so. I mean, that's just rude. I should say, I'm sorry, I'll fix it. Or I'll have somebody fix it. Unless you want me to, I can get my ball peen hammer. We'll beat those dents out of there. We'll smooth it out best we can. But how many follow what I'm saying? See, that's just not God. I've heard people say that the book of 1 John, the first chapter and part of the second, doesn't even belong to the church. Okay, you're going to take that away. What other chapters are you going to cut out? I read in my Bible, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm not buying it. Are you? You know, it was written to the church. Amen. Now, all right, let's close by going to Hebrews. This is it. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you the balance here. So we don't want to be legalists. We don't want to just be, you know, I've met people like that too. And, you know, I just be honest, I have tendencies to that. I have to watch it. You know, in some areas, I'm a perfectionist. And so I have to watch that too, where I don't get legalistic, you know, like, you know, every, you know. But we don't want to go to the other side where we just have a license. I mean, you know, you get people that are legalists, you know, and they never have any joy. Come on, some of you that have been around a little longer, if you've been around some of the old holiness Pentecostals, there was such a lack of joy. Now, it's good to be holy. But see, they established their heart in that. And they had no mercy on anybody that made a mistake. You made a mistake, you're gone. And you ever know, you know, they didn't have any joy. You know, would you like to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and be like me? No, thanks. You look like you got worse trouble than I do. Christians ought to be full of joy. Right? We should come to church full of joy. We should leave church full of joy. We should walk around full of joy. I don't know if things aren't always going right, but the joy of the Lord has been given to us. Right? We shouldn't be these sour people that, you know, are always, you know, sour all the time. Now, let me show you the balance here. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and verse 28, and this is it for tonight. The Bible says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Now, I want you to notice three words here. Grace, reverence, and godly fear. That's the balance of how to live for God. That's what he said. We've received a kingdom which can't be moved. Now let's serve God acceptably with grace. Amen. Understanding it's his mercy, it's his ability, but at the same time, we're reverent about the things of God and we have a godly fear about us. Where we you know, fear. Godly fear doesn't mean like terrified, frightened. It just means we reverence what Father says, right? When I was growing up, you know, I had my father was not a father that, well, let me see how I want to say this. You know, my father, I had a good reverence for him and a good fear of him and a healthy fear of him. In other words, if my father said he was going to spank you if you did that again, he didn't tell you that again. He kept his word. And he wasn't mean. He wasn't an overlord. He was just, you know, authoritative, you know. He acted like he was the parent. It was crazy. Because kids had no rights. Where's our rights at? But I can remember, you know, and I don't mean to be offensive, but, you know, they never had to leave us home because they couldn't take us somewhere because we'd be too wild. My dad would take care of that. I can remember going places to visit with him, and if we got out of hand, he'd say, "Get out of the room." You know, they'd get together with their friends and play cards. They used to play a game called Rook. I don't know. I don't know poker in phase 10. I don't know those other stuff, you know. And they would play that, and they'd get together with their friends, and I guarantee you, you know how, well, we can't play because the kids are too wild. No. He would say, "Out of this room, get in the other room." And that meant, you better do it. See, there was that we need that healthy fear of God. When Father says don't do it, we don't do it. Right? My dad never had to spank me very much because I knew he would. The last one he gave me was fourth grade. That lasted. Yeah, I'm almost 60 and it's still lasting, you know? I still remember it. I made an F in citizenship at school. And when I brought that F home, I remember exactly. We had a, you know, we didn't have anything leather in those days. I mean, we had a green vinyl recliner. I remember being bent over by it, and Dad adjusted that F. And it's amazing, the next grading period, it was an A. I was told in fifth grade that I was going to turn out to be like Adolf Hitler. False prophecy. But Dad knew how to adjust things. He knew how to take care of it. And I had a reverence. We got to have that reverence for God. We're not afraid of God, but we have enough reverence that we're just not going to walk out here and do things that we know he told us not to do in his word. And if we do let our flesh get the better of it, the first thing we're going to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. See, that's the balance of that. And then we know, thank God, He's got grace and mercy, and we're good, you know. We're all right, you know. I mean, now I need to forgive myself and go on, right? Amen. Let's stand up. Did you get something tonight? Thank God for His Word. Hallelujah. Got to get your heart established in grace. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I thank God for His mercy, His grace. I need it every day. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You right now as we close this service out tonight. We thank You that our hearts can be established in grace, not with the works that we do, not with the things we do. Of course, we want to do things that please You, but we know that we don't need our heart established in that. We need it established in You, in Your goodness. So if there's anyone here tonight, their heart's gotten away, it's drifted away from being established in grace, I pray that tonight that they'll get a revelation from the Word of God and get their heart back in grace and stop beating themselves up like they've been doing. Condemnation, now listen to me, is not a God. Conviction is of God. Let me tell you, there's a huge difference. When God convicts you, He doesn't beat you down. He doesn't make you feel like you're worthless. He just deals with an issue. When you're getting beat up and beat down, and your esteem is just suffering, that's not God. That's the devil, friend. God doesn't do that. I remember Him dealing with me before I was saved. He didn't beat me down, but He began to convict me. I needed to come to Him and change my ways. And there was peace associated with that, knowing if I obeyed Him, all would be well. Hallelujah. 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 Huge difference. Conviction hinders your walk with God. Condemnation hinders your walk with God. Conviction will aid it. It's godly conviction. There's a huge difference. So don't let the devil beat you down. Can you say amen? Amen? Father, as we go tonight, we claim Psalm 91 of our lives. We thank You that as we came in, we were blessed. As we leave, we're blessed. And we thank You for the angelic protection that's afforded to us as believers. And we receive it over our lives. I call everybody's week blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.